Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, December 9th, 2018. Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for our meditation is from Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends and fellow believers, one of the really neat blessings about being a pastor is people share all sorts of things that God is doing in their life with you. Some of those things they don't want to be shared with anybody else, and some of those things they don't mind. Some of those things are just interesting and they just find amazing. Let's say someone has an aneurysm and they get sent to a hospital. It just so happens that there's a bunch of physicians having a big gathering there to learn things about how to treat and how to do surgery on people who have aneurysms. So you have all the best of the best at the same hospital. Is that coincidence? Is that chance? I remember a time in our own congregation, a man was given just a few weeks to live. Just a few weeks. And he went one last time to emergency room. And it just so happened, that on duty was the doctor who did his doctorate on the very rare disease that this man had. And he was the doctor on call and all those doctors seeing patients in the emergency room. He was a guy who was assigned to this guy by chance. Here in America, we remember this past week, December 7th came and hit and reminded us, if you are a student of history, that of an attack that eventually led to the United States getting into World War II and all those terrible, sad things. Because we were brought into World War II and got rid of the Nazi influence throughout all that whole area. You know what happened? Our men who were there found out that there were other countries overseas. They thought, well, these are kind of cool. And they made friendships. And it affected our culture. So much so that from the time of World War II until now, Christianity has never spread so quickly and so deeply. Is that a coincidence? I think not. See, I serve a God who chooses just the right time to do everything. Now, I might not think it's the right time. If I'm out there in the muck and the mire of France fighting a war, I might wonder, what in the world is God doing? If I'm in a hospital room and I'm waiting to hear back from the doctor, I might wonder, what in the world is the Lord doing? But I know from the scriptures that my God that I serve is a God of details. And he does things at just the right time. Did you hear what he said? I love this. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. Luke is told to give 7 reference points to history. Our God is not an idea out there that, oh, maybe people should be kind to each other and love one another. No, our God is rooted in history. The Word became flesh, and he did it at just the right time. And look at the things that he mentions. Those 7 things that he mentions, he starts off with the Tiberius Caesar. Oh, yeah, second guy being the Caesars, and what does he do? Well, we know he's the ruler who said, you know, I wonder how many people are on the planet that I'm ruling. And so he orders a census to be taken. No questions. You can't argue, because if you argue, you die. All obedient citizens went to their country, their hometown, to get registered. Mary and Joseph were obedient citizens of the Roman government, and so they went there. What else? It says Pontius Pilate. He was a governor, not a very good governor, but he was a governor in the country of Judea. Herod, he was also a ruler, a nominal ruler. They let him keep his appearance of power so that there would be peace. Then there's Philip and Lysanias, those other 2 members of Herod's household, his clan. And then something really unusual. It says Annas and Caiaphas. They're both mentioned as a high priest. Annas was the official was the Lord's high priest. And Caiaphas was the high priest who was in charge, because he was supposed to be in charge. And they didn't like Annas. So the Roman government pulled switcheroonies and switched things around so that the leader was somebody else. That happens when you have a government that tells you what to do, how far to jump, and you just say, hi, how high? So I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of that detail of history, although I would love to. Suffice it that you and I need to be reminded that these were dangerous times. These are scary times. These are times when the freedom that we enjoy was not there. There were still believers there, as there will be believers in every culture of every climate where the Word of God goes. But these are hard, these are dangerous times. And in the middle of those hard, dangerous times, when Israel as a community, when they were very weak, that's when the Lord says, the word of the Lord came. And where did he go? He didn't go to the capital city. He went out in the boondocks. And look at the guy that he picked, John. Now, if you and I would get to know John, we would say John was an in-your-face kind of preacher. He would just let you know. But John was also charismatic. How do I know that he's charismatic? If I were to ask all of you, please, come down to the river down in Rapids, and I need to tell you how bad a sinner you are, and how God just hates sin, and how you better straighten up, otherwise you're not going to get in heaven. And then, by the way, I want you to get baptized, to show everybody that you are no longer following that old way, you're following the new way. I might have a handful of people here, because you know me and there might be something going on, you might think. But that's what John the Baptizer did. Thousands of people went out into the wilderness, very uncomfortable, very much out of their way, very much not part of their day. And what did they hear? They heard John tell them straight up, this is what God says, have no other gods. Do not misuse my name. Remember my word. Treat my day as holy and special. Those who are in authority over you, honor them. Take care of life. Don't misuse my gift of sex and marriage. Don't steal. Be content. Watch what you say so you do not steal or harm another person's reputation. Be content with everything God gives you. Do not be discontent. Whoa. And they came back. And they came back. Thousands and thousands of people. God was working through this man to take his word to his people to get the road ready for the Lord. You need to hear that you are in need before you understand what the Savior did. So when you go through that commandment list in your head and you realize how far short you are and you start to feel, oh man, could God ever love me? That's when God says, hey, look at what I did for you. I came into this world for you. I lived underneath the same rules, except I kept them, so that when I died on the cross, you could be covered with my holiness, and my blood would wash away all your sin. Wow. What a good and a gracious God we serve. When these people found out about that, you could not keep them away. So first of all, look at what happens when someone is entirely committed to God. It doesn't matter if they left their comfortable place in Jerusalem. It doesn't matter if they went out into an uncomfortable place to listen to a guy preaching to them who looks kind of crazy, dressed in camel skin, eating locusts and wild honey. Hello. And yet they did, because the message of God's word was so important and life-giving and life-sustaining. Imagine what God could do with God's people today when they're fully committed. There is nothing that could stop God's people. Something else that goes on here. The God of history very often does not do the big splashy things. When you go throughout all of history, you see little pockets of big flashy stuff. A little pocket of Elijah, a little pocket of Abraham, a little pocket of... But most of the time it goes on and he just quietly does his thing of making sure that his plan is being worked out. His plan is always being worked out. He is the God of details who does things at just the right time, all of the time. I used to think that God was only in charge of big things. I cannot tell you. I'll tell you. I'm kind of embarrassed to share this with you, but it's helpful for two things. It keeps me humble, reminds me where I'm from. It also may serve as a teaching tool for you as you're sharing things with your family. When I was younger, I prayed, Lord God, please come back again in all of your glory, but wait till I become a pastor. I really want to become a pastor, Lord. And then, as I got to know Donna, I said, oh, Lord, come back quickly, but wait till I get married, okay? And then wait till I become a pastor, and then, Lord, yeah. I was not quite fully committed yet to my Lord. And you know what? The Lord is patient. He kept my nose in his word, and I found out that God does everything at just the right time. Sometimes the big splashy stuff, like being a pastor or getting married, but very often, he does things in the littlest way. Sometimes, God gives us a gift of time or a gift of money that you were not expecting. When I get those things, I say, And God is kind of nudging me, what can I do with this unexpected gift? How can I make someone's life a little bit more blessed with what I have received? Sometimes, I receive an unexpected smile, an unexpected conversation, an unexpected something. And instead of looking at that as just a chance, I remind myself, I don't serve the God of chance. I serve the only God, the living God, who is involved in every detail of my life. Did you know God knows how many hairs are on my head? I don't know how many hairs are on my head. But God loves me so much, he's so involved with the details of my life, he knows every hair on my head. He counts them all. God is such an amazing God. He is so detail-oriented. Not only does he create the stars, but we're told that he calls each of the stars by name. Do you have a pet star? God knows them all by name. We haven't even counted how many there are yet, and God knows each of the stars that he created by name. The scriptures say that he formed me in my mother's womb. So David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. That is the God of details. And this is the God who at just the right time sent someone to get the road ready for his son. You still might see that happening today if there's ever a chance to see a city before and after an Olympics event. All of a sudden, People are building roads and building buildings and building restaurants and building venues for them to do their games. They're just getting ready for that one-time event. But the Lord said, I have to get my people ready. They're still sleepy. They don't know that dabbling around with sin can kill them. They don't know that playing around in the highway of wickedness, they could wind up smack dab dead underneath the wheels of some terrible thing that Satan is sending their way. They need to be warned. They need to come back to me. That's what John's task was. I want to read to you something else. In the year of our Lord, 2018, in the second year when Donald Trump was president of the United States of America, when Tony Evers was governor of Wisconsin and Chairman Rickaby was the chair of the township of Saratoga, and Wayne Johnson was the chair of the town of Rome, during the time when Pastor Phil Wilde was the circuit pastor, Pastor Ballou was retired, and Pastor Paul Talberg was pastor of Good Shepherd Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, in that season, just before Christmas, the word of the Lord came to you. Do you remember what he said? Turn from your wicked ways. Turn back to him and trust that he's got you covered. We serve a great and generous God. And you and I have a whole planet to make sure that his will is done and all mankind will see the salvation of our Lord in his name. So let us live. Amen.